Welcome, 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 everyone, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between. This is Tony's Political Ramblings, episode 24. And so, I take online classes in my spare time. I think it's always a good thing to keep the mind flexible and sharp and all. And I recently graduated from undergraduate school, and I'm on the way to graduate school, so I figured it'd probably be good to keep my note-taking and all that up to date. But at any rate, I'm in the middle of an environmental science class right now, and it's taught through the University of Illinois online. Professor Jonathan Tompkin teaches it. He's quite a nice lad. He's from Australia. Very, very well taught. And he mentioned this sort of framework of looking at sustainability through an economic lens, right, in terms of environmental policy specifically. And in economics, basically, the concept of a market failure occurs when maximum efficiency is not met in a given system. That's broadly speaking, but generally that's the definition. And so Professor Tompkin, he puts forth this idea that when the total net social benefit is not met, then it is a market failure. And when you consider things like negative externalities, and negative externalities are basically, for example, that's like the CO2 emissions from cars, that's the example he uses, pollution into the water, and things that companies, people, organizations, government, etc., put out into the atmosphere that negatively affect people who are outside the immediate transaction. And so when those happen, right, when there's a fracking site, and in Colorado, for example, I saw this quite frequently, and then there's an uptick in cancer rates, well, that is a market failure. That negative externality becomes the market failure in that situation, because the total social net benefit is compromised, and we are not operating at maximum efficiency if people are dying at a higher rate than they were before. And so it got me thinking on this larger theme of using the systems that we have in place to pursue an agenda that works more for people. And this isn't a revolutionary idea, but this is specifically aimed at the revolutionaries among us in the crowd out here. You know, there were a lot of people on the left and the right, more radical branches of them, of supporters, either ones that say we need to, you know, drain the swamp, or you know, the typical libertarian types who say we need no government. And then you have some of the more progressives on the far left saying, well, we need to have bigger government, and we need to have complete separation of capitalism from the world. And so I'm offering a middle path in this scenario here, something that does not need to completely uproot a system or diminish a system. Rather, we can use the existing systems, the existing frameworks we have, in order to better address problems. In the case of environmental policy, if you look at the net social benefit, and you include those externalities in that equation, that changes the way that we look at it, because typically you have, you know, the transaction between the company and the consumer, right? The company gets the oil from the ground, the consumer buys the oil and puts it in their car. Simple as that. But if you consider everyone involved, if you consider the people in living around the oil site, the oil drilling site, if you consider the people who drive in the cities and who have to breathe in polluted air, I mean, if you consider all of them in that existing economic framework, we're not changing anything. This is the same definition of a market failure. but we're just applying it to environmental policy. You know, that will challenge us to look at our problems in a different way. And so one example of this that I loved, actually, I remembered this from On the Basis of Sex, which was a movie that was made about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late Supreme Court justice. And the third act of the film follows a court case in Colorado, actually. I believe it was Moritz versus the commissioner. That's typically what it's referred to as. And basically what came of it was that RBG was trying to prove that there was discrimination based on sex, but in the reverse. And so basically because the Charles Moritz in question was basically, he had claimed a tax deduction for the cost of being a caregiver for his mother. And the IRS had said no, you can't get that deduction. But the law at the time specifically allowed for women to get that deduction, but and formerly married men, but not men in Moritz's situation. So basically, RBG used the laws in place and used the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause, within the 14th Amendment to prove that this was a discrimination based on sex. And it was a very minor piece, but it was the centerpiece of that movie. But it left an impression in me, and it just sort of proved that yes, you can use the system in place to then use the laws, because they're loose enough in the United States that you can use them to create a more fair and just world. And so when you have this Moritz versus the commissioner case coming in, now this acts as a precedent on the basis of that discrimination on the basis of sex has to be ruled a certain way. Even though this was a smaller court, it was a court of appeals for the 10th Circuit. It's a smaller court, but the pieces that came out of it, the fact that this is a precedent that proves sex discrimination is unconstitutional, was the big takeaway here. And we even see this developing now with the For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act that are sitting in Congress at the moment that need to be worked through and passed in the Senate in order to be made law. These bills are they were important before, as any sort of voting rights bill is, but they're particularly important now, as I mentioned in the most recent episode, because state Republican majority state legislatures are trying to make laws that are making it more difficult for people to vote. And so this bit of federal oversight and federal law will supersede any of these state laws that have been passed. And so this is not a system where we need to completely, you know, tear everything down or move away from it or whatever. But this is a way to operate within the system that we have in place, within the laws that we have, in order to make a more just and fair society. This is not these bills, you know, the John Lewis Act, John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and the For the People Act. They're not radical bills. I mean, they are proposing some changes to the election, to election funding and district redrawing and all that, but it's not a crazy concept. It just creates a more fair election, or fairer election. And my point to all of this is that the way that we move forward is not to yell at the systems. It's not to try and tear them down. It's not to try and to burn them to the ground, but it's to work within them to move towards a more equitable society. Because we've seen time and again throughout history when countries and societies, when they tear down their systems, oftentimes it's very difficult to build one that works. And in my opinion, while the United States as a country and as a system is flawed. It does not operate at perfect efficiency, and there are going to be flaws. But the United States laws and policies and the way that the government is established, it is built in a way that it can work, and it can all, because the proof is basically the last 200 years of our country, 250 roughly years of our existence. Ever since the Constitution was written and signed off on in 1789, we've gradually been moving towards a more fair and equitable society. And if we all continue to participate, if we all continue to vote and protest and make our voices heard, that progress can come along a lot faster. We're having representation in all levels of government that is completely unprecedented, that we're seeing right now. And it's all on us to make sure that that change keeps happening. And as frustrating as a lot of it may seem, it's still happening. Change is still coming, but it just depends on us if we're willing to keep pushing for that change. And so I invite all of you who are listening to keep the faith, if you will. Keep pushing for change on all levels of government, but do it in a way where we can use the system to make that change happen. Because the laws are flexible enough, the injustices are plentiful enough, and the passion to make it happen is here. We just need to put those three together so we can make a more equitable society.